We all recoil from stories of killers who slay without conscience or remorse and then complain if they're not treated properly. In their twisted minds, these people have a double standard of behavior. They're like Cain of old, who had no sorrow for killing Abel, but was quite worried that someone might kill him. Today, understanding the mind of the self-absorbed. Please stay with us. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today, Erwin Lutzer continues his series on When You've Been Wronged. We're learning about the paranoia of Cain after he killed his brother Abel.
You'll notice what Cain says now, and let's all take out our handkerchiefs and weep for him. He said to the Lord, "My punishment is greater than I can bear. Behold, you have driven me today away from the ground, and from your face I shall be hidden. I shall be a fugitive and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me." Paranoia, they're out to get me. I'm always the one that gets the bad end of the deal. Then the Lord protects him and gives him a mark. We have no idea what that mark is, but God is saying, I don't want these blood feuds to go along. But now let's just think for a moment of what he's saying. Not one iota of remorse. Not saying I'm really sorry that I killed my brother or I regret the evil that I have done. Nothing like that. Instead, a persecution complex and saying, you know, things are so bad that if somebody sees me, they're going to kill me. Well, let's think about that for a moment. If somebody killed them, there'd be a good reason to. Later on, God says that if you shed blood, you are going to be the one whose blood is going to be shed. I mean, you know, they'd have a good reason to kill somebody. A good reason to kill him. But he feels sorry for himself because remember this, that these kinds of people always play by a different set of rules. And they find within themselves this feeling of sorry for them. But there's no sorrow for the blood of his brother, which lies spilled on the ground. In fact, killing his brother probably felt good. You remember that man in Minnesota, you know, who was asked to get away from the particular house that had been built, the deer house for hunters. And what did he do? He shot five of the hunters. You're not going to tell me where I can sit and where I can be. If not, I'll blow you away. And you know what? After you're dead, you'll never tell me again where I can or can't be. Probably felt good. Shoot him. And then walk away without a twinge of conscience. A police officer here in Chicago told me one time that one of the things that just amazed him were kids who could kill somebody else and then go out for dinner as if nothing happened. Able to bear their own hurts and feeling keenly what has been done against them, but incapable, and that's a good word, incapable of feeling the hurts of others. Now let's think a little bit, all right? Well, I hope you've been thinking up until now, but we're going to continue to. What do you think about those who have the mark of being able to hurt others and yet not feel the hurt of others, but feel only hurt for themselves? What do you think they are thinking when I'm preaching this message? You see, because in life there are probably about an even number of people who have been hurt and those who have done the hurting. This message is to this sanctuary. It's also beyond that and the internet and eventually radio. Many people are going to be listening to this. Do you think the people who have that characteristic are saying to themselves, boy, that's one thing about Pastor Lutzer. He really had my number. Oh, that's just me to a T. I've never been able to really submit to advice and to take counsel and submit to God. Furthermore, I'm always blaming other people for what happened and not taking responsibility myself. As a matter of fact, I'm always self-absorbed, concerned about my own hurts, but having no concern about the hurts of others. I mean, this is just like me. I can assure you, no, they're not thinking that. They're thinking, I know somebody to whom this message applies. He's describing somebody I know. May I speak plainly today? Those relatives that treat you like dirt, they think that you have it coming to you. They are absolutely convinced about the rightness of their actions. And these kinds of people who can hurt others and not feel the pain of the people that they hurt are absolutely convinced beyond a shadow of a doubt that they are right in what they do. They would be offended if you told them, you really hurt me. They'd say, what do you mean I hurt you? I'm the kindest person on the block. Let me summarize this by an application. There was a pastor who kept a clock in his office. And the clock never kept accurate time. Sometimes it was too fast and sometimes it was too slow. And he put a notation under the clock and said, "Don't blame the hands. The trouble is deeper." The trouble is always deeper, isn't it? So I give you two transforming lessons, both for you if you are the victim of somebody's insensitivity, as well as if you are the insensitive person, but you don't know it yet. First of all, either we will master sin, or sin will master us. Remember that. Sin is crouching at the door. You disregard God's counsel, and the demon is at the door. Let's look at a New Testament commentary on Cain. "For this is the message that you have heard from the beginning, that we should love one another. We should not be like Cain, who was of that evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his own deeds were evil and his brothers were righteous. All that he needed was a fit of jealousy to destroy his brother." Don't be like that, because he was of the evil one. To speak plainly, the devil got him. Sin was crouching at the door and pounced. My dear friend, today I want you to know that unless our lives are open to the blessed Holy Spirit, who can point out our sin and who can show us how sometimes we hurt other people, maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally, unless we are open to the Holy Spirit, we will not master sin. Sin will master us and it will destroy us. Because the truth is, I've been preaching about Cain. But in reality, I've been preaching about myself and I've been preaching about you, because there is a little bit of Cain in us all. And only the Holy Spirit of God can show us how we can be insensitive and how we can hurt other people. And so this is a time to say, "Oh Lord, please show us." And this is why sometimes it's so unfortunate that always in preaching we are so rushed, because now would be a good time to take out time in the presence of the Holy Spirit of God and to say, "Lord, is it I? Is it I?" Second, let us be united by the blood that forgives. By the blood that forgives. The Bible says in the book of Hebrews, chapter 12, verse 24, it says that there is blood that speaks a better word than the blood of Abel, and that is the blood of Christ. And it is there at the foot of the cross, all of us are united. At the foot of the cross, we come together, and it is there that we unite our hearts, and it is there that families can be reconciled as each confesses his sin, as each discusses with the others how these hurts have come about, and to bring about a family sense of unity. Because I'm not just speaking to the Cains who hurt people, I'm also speaking to those who have been hurt. I'm speaking to the Abels. Abel, of course, died, but you may well be alive, but feeling the pain of someone else. And if people come to us and say, you really hurt me, let us be open and let us receive their counsel and not be defensive, because there may be ways in which we have, and we've just either rationalized it or we're not aware of it. Because what God wants to do is to bring about a sense of unity within families and within a church. And when you and I have total forgiveness, and we're going to be talking about that, and if you didn't receive last week's message, it is critical that you do, because it has to do with the characteristics of those who will not give up their offenses. But what happens is, if we are open to God and willing to lay down all bitterness, willing to let the Holy Spirit of God search us, what we will find is an open invitation of the Holy Spirit to give us peace and leadership and direction and love and supernatural ability. It is all there if we're willing to say, "Yes, Lord, it is I." Let's pray. Our Father, today we ask that you will help us to see that sin is at the door. Either we will give up our bitternesses, or bitterness will overtake us. And we may not physically kill someone, but we'll feel like it. And in that, O God, we will become like Cain. Father, show us how much we've been forgiven so that we could forgive others. Help us to see, Father, that the light of the Holy Spirit shining in our hearts can point out things that we never knew were there. May we take out all the time in your presence that is needed for us to say, "Lord, show me." And then give me the ability to do what I know I have to. Grant that, O God, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, this is Pastor Lutzer. Possibly somebody listening to the end of this message says, "But if I were to open my heart to the Lord, and if I were to deal with all the bitternesses and the hurts and the jealousies, somebody would take advantage of me in this relationship." Well, we're going to be talking about those kinds of things in future messages. But for today, I want you to think about this. If we take care of our own hearts, let us have the faith to give to God those people who might take advantage of us, those people who might want to use us for their own purposes. Let us be wise in that relationship, but at the same time, let us never use what other people have done as an excuse for holding sin in our own heart. Surely Cain is an example of what happens when sin is unchecked. It is out of control, and it was crouching at the door just like God said, and it pounced, and it got him. Let's not let that happen to us.
Erwin Lutzer, concluding his message on The Challenge of Raising Cain, the second of 8 messages on When You've Been Wronged. Tomorrow, don't miss the dramatic story of 2 brothers at war. Running to Win comes to you from the Moody Church in Chicago. Our current series can be yours in book form as our thank you when you give a gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Ask about When You've Been Wronged. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw, all one word, .com. Or write to Running to Win at Box 11174, Chicago, Illinois, 60611. This is Dave McAllister. The story of Jacob and Esau is full of lessons on resolving conflict. Join us tomorrow for our next Running to Win.